More COVID-19 cases means more Americans need help just to breathe.
States across the country have been saying that they don't have enough supplies, including ventilators.
New moves aim to deliver the medical equipment needed to keep patients alive. And the coronavirus cuts deeper into the job market. It's Friday, April 3rd. I'm Mark Garrison with The Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. We are reporting the Trump administration is expected to issue new guidance recommending people in pandemic hotspots wear cloth face masks or other coverings in public. The question of whether masks should be used other than by health workers and coronavirus patients is a subject of debate among scientists and governments. White House coronavirus advisor Dr. Deborah Birx cautioned that a mask is nowhere near as powerful as staying home and washing your hands.
We don't want people to get an artificial sense of protection because they're behind a mask, because if they're touching things, remember, your eyes are not in the mask. So if you're touching things and then touching your eyes, you're exposing yourself in the same way. Don't get a false sense of security that that mask is protecting you exclusively from getting infected, because there are other ways that you can get infected.
The Navy has relieved of command an aircraft carrier captain who called for help as a coronavirus outbreak tore through his ship. "We are not at war. Sailors do not need to die," wrote Captain Brett Crozier from aboard the USS Theodore Roosevelt. The memo to military officials was later leaked to the press. More than 100 of the vessel's crew have tested positive for the new coronavirus. Acting Navy Secretary Thomas Modley said he removed Captain Crozier because his memo gave the wrong impression.
"The captain's actions made his sailors, their families, and many in the public believe that his letter was the only reason help from our larger Navy family was forthcoming, which was hardly the case."
Disney and GE are both announcing widespread furloughs. Disney's move applies to U.S. employees across all its divisions. GE is furloughing half the U.S. manufacturing workers in its jet engine business, the same division that already laid off 10% of its American workforce. This morning, we'll get the jobs report for the month of March, but because of how the numbers are collected, it probably won't give the fullest picture of the labor market damage of the pandemic, which led to record jobless claims in recent days. Many people fortunate enough to keep their jobs are getting hit with pay cuts. Rachel Feinzig explains what companies are doing.
Part of the idea is to kind of spread the financial pain around so that more workers can kind of remain on payroll, even if they're taking cuts to their salary, and companies can kind of hedge off some layoffs. Companies are also, I think, thinking and hoping that maybe this is going to pass before too long. We were in a really hot hiring market, and then the coronavirus really struck all of a sudden. And so the idea is, you know, maybe we can just keep people on tap now so that we don't have to go back and hire people, you know, in a matter of months, which can take time and resources.
After this, a look at what's happening in the markets. The coronavirus pandemic is having a major impact on oil prices, which have seen big swings lately. Markets reporter Avantika Chilcote gets us up to speed on what to watch on a big day in energy markets.
So oil prices jumped 25% on Thursday, which is the biggest one-day rally on record. That was on the back of one tweet from President Trump, where he suggested that the conflict between Russia and Saudi Arabia, two of the world's biggest oil producers, was going to soon draw to a close. All of this conflict comes against the backdrop of the coronavirus pandemic. That's essentially really containing demand for oil as economies slow down and factories stay closed. This oil price conflict between Russia and Saudi Arabia has had huge ramifications across the globe. There are entire economies that rely on exports of oil to prop up government finances, and they're seeing revenues drop drastically. At the same time, you've got oil producers, companies that are struggling. Later today, President Trump is going to meet with the heads of some of the US's biggest oil companies. The chief executives of Exxon and Chevron are expected to attend. And this is just to discuss how the industry could fight for survival at a time when oil is just so cheap.
In just a moment, we hear about new moves to get more ventilators to patients who need them. The sickest coronavirus patients need ventilators to breathe, but many U.S. hospitals are finding they don't have nearly enough machines for the expected surge in cases. The Trump administration has invoked the Defense Production Act to help manufacturers get supplies to increase medical equipment production. A new analysis of government data by the Wall Street Journal highlights the potential shortfall. Reporter Rachel Levy is on the story and spoke with our Charlie Turner.
Rachel, hospitals around the country, as well as governors, including Andrew Cuomo of New York, have urged the federal government to send them more ventilators. How bad is the shortage at this point?
So we know that states across the country have been saying that they don't have enough supplies, including ventilators. Governor Cuomo has said that he needs as many as 37,000 ventilators, potentially, in New York State alone, and the stockpile has only provided 4,000. We only have like projected numbers of what we're going to need. It's not clear how many are already available. So basically the numbers show that we have this massive need. And Governor Cuomo in New York has said that his state alone needs a lot more than it's gotten. There's definitely a shortage. And it's definitely, Cuomo is asking for more than, you know, the stockpile currently has.
Well, some background here. Who's in charge of the stockpile that sends out the machines?
So the stockpile is technically run by the Department of Health and Human Services. It's separate from FEMA. FEMA is the agency that is essentially running the emergency response to this crisis and is in charge of getting supplies from places like the stockpile to states and hospitals.
Well, the journal has looked at government data. How many ventilators has the stockpile sent out as far as what you could determine?
According to a document that we were able to get at the Journal, there have been more than 7,000 ventilators sent out of the stockpile as of Monday, so as of March 30th. FEMA has told us that they have 9,404 ventilators left in the stockpile, an additional 1,000 or so ventilators coming from the Defense Department. So in total, that's around 10,469 ventilators.
President Trump has weighed in on the shortage of ventilators. What does Mr. Trump want to have happen?
So the president has said that he wants to get manufacturers getting equipment to states directly. He wants them to bypass the stockpile. So that essentially takes out a step in the supply chain. He recently invoked what's called the DPA, which is an act from the Korean War era, essentially, that can push companies to produce supplies. And he used this on GM to assemble ventilators. He also announced that he is using it again to secure supplies that companies need to make ventilators.
The Wall Street Journal's Rachel Levy. Thanks, Rachel.
Anytime.
We are here to answer your questions about the coronavirus pandemic. Call 315-992-8298 and leave your question in our voicemail. We'll have our reporters and experts get you answers. And that is what's news for this morning. We'll be back with another updated podcast this evening, and we will keep covering the pandemic and other stories on WSJ.com and our app. I'm Mark Garrison with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.